On Tuesday, the city of Milwaukee agreed to settle a federal lawsuit over the use of stop and frisk by the city's police department. According to the ACLU, which brought the suit, officers in Milwaukee stopped hundreds of thousands of people in the city without demonstrating reasonable suspicion. Black and Latino people were stopped at much higher rates than their white counterparts. In addition to the $3.4 million settlement, the agreement requires the Milwaukee Police Department and the Milwaukee Fire and Police Commission to change their stop and frisk policy. Policies, document every stop and frisk case, including with demographic information, and release stop and frisk data to the public. Officers will also have to take racial profiling training and more. Joining us now is Nikotris Perkins, a strategist and youth advocate in Milwaukee. Nikotris, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So we know that Wisconsin, for those of our listeners who don't know, is considered one of the worst states to be a Black American in the United States for a variety of different reasons. But let's talk specifically about the problem of improper policing in Milwaukee. How prevalent is that?
It's a pretty big deal. In the last few years, there's probably been about a little over $25 million settled. With the city around lawsuits around wrongful policing with a number of citizens, mostly Black and brown people.
And tell us a little bit about the roots of this problem. I mentioned that it is one of the worst states, Wisconsin, to be a Black American for rates of incarceration and home mortgage accessibility and all these other things. But what is the root of this problem?
Historically, I would say the root is probably really linked to segregation, as old as redlining and how we put people in certain spaces, remove transportation from where they are, and then move jobs from where they aren't. So we're putting people in places where they are not having much choice but to live in poverty, and then created places where poverty has been generational. And so we are policing poverty in a lot of ways, and putting people in places where they haven't had choice, haven't had the ability to access jobs and food. And I mean, we just have a lot of really very specific issues in the city of Milwaukee in particular that put Black and brown people in situations where they're not able to bring themselves and their families out of impoverished situations.
Can you give us a sense of what the relationship, what are police community relationship like right now in Milwaukee between Black and brown community members and the police?
I'm going to say it's not good. I think it has been worse in the past. We're in a space right now where a lot of things have come up. This settlement, the DOJ report that happened at the end of 2016 that came up and said these are all the things that aren't going very well between police and community and how we should be doing better community policing and try that as a real solution for the city. In doing that, I feel like the city has said, the police department has said, yes, we're not doing this correctly, but we're not in a place yet where policies that have been brought up and have been suggested have been implemented.
And of course, stop and frisk isn't something that's unique to Wisconsin. We've had it here in New York. And it actually came out of a 1968 Supreme Court decision, Terry v. Ohio, which basically allowed the police to stop and search a person if there is a reasonable suspicion that the person has committed a crime or is about to commit a crime. And of course, we've seen that interpreted in different ways, but it still is the law. So can you give us a sense of what the difference is between the law as it's stated and what Milwaukee police officers and et cetera are going to be expected to do?
So I think the biggest thing is the reasonable suspicion. Being Black and walking is not reasonable suspicion for a crime. And so we're hoping that the policies that are implemented move us past the racial profiling that has been an issue in the city and really puts us in a place where people are trained in a way to think differently. I think we struggle, period, in a lot of cities around a struggle with fear and images and information we have based on one or two instances and how we spread that across whole populations of people. And there's no way we can build a beloved community and have community relations with police officers and other people, just citizens, right? If we don't get to a space where who you are and what you look like is reasonable suspicion for you to be stopped and frisked or pulled over or asked a lot of questions, there's like just no way to create a relationship with policing if that is continuing. And so hopefully policies are implemented that help people change their minds, their hearts, and their how they interact with people.
Well, one of the ways that the police department here in New York has tried to evolve along those lines is trying to do more community policing. Are you seeing that happening in Milwaukee right now?
So No, I've seen it talked about. There was a report of the Department of Justice that said that we don't do that. And so there have been some roundtables just this past year with a lot of community members, young people, really pushing community policing. And so as the Fire and Police Commission look at the reports from all of those roundtables, as well as this another settlement, right? So we have another settlement where it makes sense that we do try community policing and what that really looks like. It is written into what the Milwaukee Police Department does, but we haven't been able to really implemented successfully in a way that everybody understands what it is, and that the police community relations is one that mimics how it has worked in cities.
And one of the things that we saw also in New York City after doing some research here is that there is lots of data that shows that while stop and frisk increased, it did not decrease crime. And I'm wondering if the same thing was true in Milwaukee. Was it effective?
Yes. No, it wasn't. It didn't decrease crime. What it did was increase suspicion and fear between the community and the police department. And also just people, like, you drive by and you see that. And some people just assume, and you see this, if you drove down the same street every day on your way to work, some of our main thoroughfares, and you see people being frisked and those people look the same, then there's an assumption that they must have been doing something. And you see that over and over again. So we're increasing the fear, but we're not decreasing the crime.
And are you seeing any other solutions beyond this lawsuit?
I actually don't think the lawsuit is a solution to the issues. I think a lawsuit is a solution to the fact that people have been wronged. And now we're in a space where it's like, we're not doing this right. People are owed, and then there's a debt, right? But the debt is really a community-based debt. So, like, how do we create situations where people are able to communicate with one another and understand one another? I don't think the system works. And the only way to implement something that would work in that is to really talk to people. So I hope that the trainings that the police department get really are something that are implemented quickly, and they're implemented in a way that makes sense. Like, it can't be a 30-minute training about equity and now everything's going to change. So we need to think about ways to do the training really well for it to work.
Nikotris Perkins is a strategist and youth advocate in Milwaukee. Nikotris, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.